And so at this time, my wife back there is going to play a little video, and we'll have Kathy and Sandy come on up. So summer's a busy time, and I know that some of our small groups have faithfully been meeting together during the summer, sometimes every other week. Some of them have been going strong each week. But summer's are kind of a different animal, and people scatter. And so for the month of August, we've kind of gotten a cross-section of different people that are involved with small groups to start doing a little promotion for small groups. You saw a little video, and of course, we've also had some interviews. Last week, it was young couples with babies, and now we have a couple of our ladies that are leaders of a couple of small groups that are going to be joining me today, and I'm just going to ask them a couple questions just like I did last week. And the first question, by the way, this is Kathy Drentlaw and Cindy Lichtig. And so, first question is for Kathy. Why small groups, Kathy?
Because life is hard. And I want to point, I think small groups are different than the traditional Bible study in the way that a small group is so much more. We're there for you to help you celebrate the good times in your life, but we're there to help you get through the tough times also. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to listen. Other times you might need emotional support, physical support, or spiritual support. And your small group, when they get together in a group and pray for you, there's nothing more powerful. And if you're willing to give just probably an hour and a half a week to a Bible study or small group, I should say, the impact it can have on your life is tremendous. That's why a small group.
Thank you, Kathy. And so for Sandy, and the question is, why is it important for Christians to do life together?
I think I got the harder question, don't you guys? Because we are told several times in the New Testament to love each other. Our love for each other is to be our identifying attribute to the world. It is to spill over into our communities and the country and the world. Sadly, though, we don't love each other. The Western Christian Church is being prayed for by the believers around the world because it is seen as dysfunctional. We well know the criticism leveled against Christians here in our own country. It all boils down to a lack of love for each other. Kelly Meinters, in her book, What is Love, says, "Love absolutely has to be more than tolerance, and it can be no less than justice, and from there we have a million competing ideas." She goes on to say that love comes from God. He is the source. Let us gather together and learn how to love each other from the source of love. The best place to do that is in a small group where we can love each other.
Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing this morning. So how do you become a part of a small group? Well, you can come see me, and we can help you get plugged into a small group. Another way is to visit our church website, gracespearfish.com, and all you have to do is go to the menu and scroll down to where it says small groups. click on that, and there's a list of all the different, and pictures too, of all the different small groups that are available. Some are closed because they've gotten so big. Some are open. And so there are phone numbers, email addresses, things like that to make some contact to be a part of one. And so we'd love to have you join one as we get ready for the fall kickoff of small groups. Thank you. Well, I'm going to call John Remeyer. He'll be bringing the word this morning, of course, praying with us. And so, John.
Thank you, Jeff. I don't know if we get done today, and you may think, wow, you guys are so organized and everything, but it's just God, because we didn't talk at all. But aren't you glad Jesus shed his blood for you? Think of how hard you and I have probably strived many, many times, and we can never get there. So would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I thank you so much for shedding your blood for me and for all of those who call you Savior, Lord, because there is no way that we could work ourselves to you and ever get off of that treadmill. So thank you for paying the cost that we could not pay. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, at Grace Fellowship, that we would be all about proclaiming that good news. Please be with me. Speak through me today, Lord Jesus. Let your word go forth and do its work. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. So good morning, everyone, again. We're wrapping up the book of Romans. Steve, have no fear. Steve will be back, I believe, next week. So Larry Helmer and I were able to fill in, and thank Larry for last week taking the first part of chapter 16, verses 1 to 16, and handling all those, pronouncing all those names in Romans 16. And he did a far better job than I did. I could have, I know. So, but I'm going to move on. We're going to finish up with verses 17 to 27 today. You know, I was thinking as I put the message together, you know, when you finish up a good series, you know, they have that last week where you see highlights from all the great weeks, right? So I thought, you know, we should just have highlights from Steve's sermons over the last many, many months we've been going through Romans. But I can barely play a video online, so there was absolutely no chance of me cutting and editing. So we're going to do this the old-fashioned way. I had a little time. I wasn't traveling a few weeks ago and began work on this sermon so that I wasn't working on it at the last minute, and was plowing through it and got done with it. And the Lord really laid a burden on my heart August 5th. That Friday, and I tore it up and began over. It just seems a little difficult to wrap the book of Romans up with chapter 16. I don't know if any of you are reading along with us, maybe reading ahead. It just seems to me a little difficult that this is how we wrap the book of Romans up. But in the end, I think it probably is right, since all scripture is God-breathed, we'll trust it is. But I just felt like we've got to do more to summarize the book of Romans. And I started putting this sermon together and realized that if I try to summarize the book of Romans in one sermon, we will all be sitting here until Tuesday. And I could not do that to any of you, and I could not do that to myself either. So I listened to the Lord, I tore it up, and I began again with, as you'll see, I think really fits in with Jeff's heart and our ladies sharing about small groups and love. So, you see, after Paul's greeting in chapter 1, we get 15 chapters of the greatest theology in God's word about salvation and what it means what it looks like and what it means to us specifically. And Steve has shared that knowledge with us over the last many, many months. But my first question for you is, as the youth group all know, I like to ask questions. Is knowledge sufficient? So, youth group, Hudson, I'll call you out. What are the two greatest commandments? Thank you. See, knowledge, I think, is a big part of loving God, but does knowledge help us love our neighbors as ourselves? I don't know if it does. So we're going to start here, jumping back to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Thank you, Hudson. We sum it up in youth group a lot with love God and love others. So I want to share with you a few words from Charles Spurgeon on what he thinks about knowledge. Okay? To know God is the highest and best form of knowledge, and it is the source of strength to believers. It can help strengthen our faith. It can help strengthen our love, our hope. For how can we hope for a thing if we know not of its existence? How important is it that we should grow not only in grace, but in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? But I ask again, is knowledge sufficient? I don't think Paul thought it was. Because although Romans is this great treatise on salvation and what it means to us, there's too much about love in the book of Romans. And this is where the Lord spun me around and said, Steve covered the knowledge. Let's bring this together maybe with a different message. You've probably heard this little saying before. You know, as we talked about, the ladies talked about small groups, and we're going to talk about love today. But, you know, relationship is the bridge that the gospel best crosses the divide with. And we can't make those relationships without genuine love. So how do we build and foster relationships? I believe we start with honesty and integrity. But then we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 as well. Do nothing from selfish ambition and empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And I think we're starting to see what love looks like. Do you live your life that way? I think it's paramount that we do, because if you read on in the book of Philippians, we find that that's how Jesus lived his life. That although being God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. You guys all know the verse. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and was obedient, even to the point of death upon a cross, for you and I. So how are we doing with putting the interests of others above ourselves? My wife was in the first service. She could have told you that sometimes I do okay and sometimes I don't do very well at that. How are you doing? How are we doing with dying to ourselves? See, as believers, we have the knowledge. But love to me is putting feet under that knowledge. Taking the knowledge and turning it into action. I always described it as putting feet under it. Because we can all be book smart, but if we don't turn that knowledge into action, are we loving? So before we head to chapter 16, I am going to review just a little bit in the book of Romans about all the places Paul talked about, some of the places Paul talked about love. Romans 12, 14 to 20 says, "Bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, and, if possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But he says also, 'If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head.'" So here Paul shows us some ways that love should manifest itself to the church, but also there's some things in here for society in general as well. I mean, Paul wrote most of those letters to believers in the church, but there are things in here also about how we love society. Are you blessing those who persecute you? Weeping with the weeping and feeding the hungry. Never taking our own revenge. Paul gives us more instructions about love in chapter 12 in verses 4 to 8. "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So you see, we form one body. Every one of us that names Jesus as our Savior is gifted uniquely by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So my next question for you, are you serving the body of Christ as the Holy Spirit has gifted you? Because if you're not, the body of Christ is missing you, and we're incomplete, is the way I read Paul's writing. And as a member of the elder board, I would never want to guilt any of you into service. That is between you and the Holy Spirit. But I think it's worth remembering that as believers, each one of us is gifted uniquely to fit a part. And Paul also explains how we show love in the book of Romans toward government. This is not an easy task some days. As our nation becomes more and more divided before our very eyes, and also as I see things, just as Scripture says, as more and more often we are calling good evil and calling evil good, just as we read in Scripture. But Romans 13 also says this: every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. How are you doing with this one? I'm not going to lie to you. This one is a struggle for me. But because it's a struggle for me doesn't mean I can ignore what's in God's word, can I? Paul also talks in the book of Romans about love for God. Back in chapter 12 again, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and perfect. So are you letting the Holy Spirit renew your mind? Because to me, this is where knowledge and love meet, is when we study God's word, we meditate on God's word, we ruminate on it, chew it over and over, and then put feet under it. That, to me, is how we let the word of God transform our minds. You know, from all the epistles, and the book of Romans in particular, and this treatise on salvation, and all the missionary journeys that we read about Paul going on, it's very obvious that Paul was a soul winner, was he not? But as Larry brought into focus for us last week, Paul was also a friend winner. And I think that's important for you and I as well. In chapter 16, Paul mentions 26 people by name. Now, obviously, he placed a lot of importance on the theology that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, but by naming 26 people and relationships by name, Paul obviously valued those people and those relationships, did he not? Now we're going to return to chapter 16 and move on from verse 16 and look at 17 through 25. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached to all, therefore I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. You see, another thing Paul shows us is love also warns. How many times in Paul's epistles did he warn of false teachers in the early church? And I'm sorry to say, I wish I didn't have to say this, there are many false teachers still today. And I'm afraid that there will be until Jesus returns for us. And if you get to a good-sized city sometime and get a wander through a big Christian bookstore, there's a lot of false teaching that fills the shelves of Christian bookstores, I'm afraid to say. You see, not everyone was working with Paul for the sake of the gospel, were they? So Paul warns his readers. And I don't believe Paul is talking about you and an acquaintance, talking about one of you that maybe has a difference of opinion about what a verse means. What I think he's talking about people that are teaching, maybe even in the name of Jesus, feeding their own appetites, whatever they might be. And we've all seen the horrible news stories over the last couple of decades about ministries caught up in scandal. So whatever their appetite is, whether it's money, power, fame, or sex, whatever it is, and Paul admonishes us to identify them and stay away from them. And if they are not serving Jesus, they are serving Satan. And just like Satan, in due time, they will be crushed. So we return to chapter 16, verse 21 to 24. My Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, host to me, and the whole church greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you, and Quartus, the brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think this is Paul's longest benediction he ever wrote. And again, Paul returns to those relationships to close this letter out, doesn't he? Verse 25 to 27, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of the faith to the only wise God. Through Jesus Christ be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, there's only one who is able to establish us. And remember, as Pastor Steve has urged us over multiple weeks, Jesus did not come and shed that blood that we sang about to make a new and better you and me. He came and shed that blood for you and I to become new creations, adopted in as sons and daughters into the family. And we're charged to remember the mystery, that we would all do well to remember Christ in you. If you name Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that mystery of Christ in you. In closing, knowledge is of great importance. I don't think there's any doubt of that. But we have to put feet under our knowledge so that we love one another and we bear one another's burdens. I think if I remember counting correctly, there are 50-some one another statements in the New Testament. It's all about, obviously, the knowledge and understanding and knowing what we believe, but then putting feet under it and loving one another. So when I was doing my graduate work, I wanted to be the guy who knew the Bible better than anybody else. I wanted to be the guy everybody came to with the questions, and he could answer them all. And I quickly learned, Mike, I'm not that guy. I'm not smart enough to be that guy. But I also was reminded of what Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a verse familiar to many of you, I'm sure. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, you guys can all finish it, I am nothing. How are you showing love? Are you pouring into the lives of other people around you? Are you encouraging others? Are you exhorting others? On to love and good works. Are you serving others? Because if you're not, I would urge you to reconsider again joining a small group. Because what a great place to foster those relationships, to learn what the needs of the saints are, and to be a part of meeting those needs. So would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, I thank you so much for your word and the challenge of your word. The challenge it is to me, and I'm sure many sitting here. Lord, it is important. What Charles Spurgeon said is right knowledge can be something that helps us to know you better and love you more and deepen our faith. But at the end of the day, Lord, you knew all. And you put feet underneath that by coming and dying for us. And I pray that you would help us to die to ourselves and to love one another and those around us. So Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. To get connected, listen to more sermons, or learn more about Grace Fellowship, please visit gracespearfish.com.